great to have you with us from wherever you're tuning in from. For more information about Elevate Church or to contact us, head to our website elevatechurch.me and take us wherever you go by downloading our Elevate Church AU app. We hope this message inspires and helps you to take your next steps in your journey.
So good having a baptism, hey? You know, baptisms are so significant. I love them. And unfortunately, these days, I do them down in Esperance in the freezing cold ocean. And that's real commitment. That's probably heated. So you've got a blessing. Let me tell you what it's like going in the icy cold water, especially if you only have the water up to here and a wave comes in just as you're about to baptize somebody. Not a good feeling. Hey, does God still love you? Here's a question that I want to really ask you before you go into that question, has to do with who do you think God is and what do you call him and how do you relate to him? Because that all comes back to that same question, does God still love me? But many years ago, I used to be a youth pastor. For 20 years, I was a youth pastor, probably the longest serving youth pastor you've had. And I had a youth ministry of around about 150 to 200 young people. I was actively involved in local high schools. So I was seeing young people all the time. And one day, my sons, who were starting to get to teenage years, started to come to Friday night youth group, which was great. They would come along and Steve, the youth pastor, was doing all these. We could do crazy things in those days. You can't do them now. And we were doing crazy things and they loved it. And of course, everybody at youth group calls me Steve. And then one day I noticed my son said, "Hey, Steve." And I went, "Huh?" And after a while, he kept calling me Steve. And I thought, well, I suppose that's probably what everyone else is calling me. Until I was driving home one night, Friday night. I'd drop him home and then I'd go out with the youth group leaders until 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I'd drop him home first. On the way home, I'm saying, "Hey, mate, I just want to ask a question. Why do you call me Steve?" And he said, "Well, Dad, everyone's calling you Steve." And I go, "Yeah, I know everyone calls me Steve. Everyone in the world can call me Steve. Do you know, there's only 4 people in the whole wide world out of all the billions of people, there's only 4 people who can call me Dad." And he went, that's right, Steve. I said, "Well, that didn't work." But it's interesting because what you call someone, how you relate, is how they relate to you. You see, at home, I'm not the crazy youth pastor, even though we had the most amazing children, kids' birthday parties with earth balls and sumo wrestling, and couldn't help myself. But I was Dad. I was the authority. I was the one that loved them. I was the one that was there if I could remember to pick them up. I was the one who was there, right? And yet they would call me Steve. Here's a question for you. It's a question that Jesus asked his followers, who do people say I am? You find this in Matthew, in the book of Matthew 15. It says, Jesus with his disciples, he says, "Hey guys, tell me." And the disciples were basically his followers, his friends, his mates, been there for a few years now. And he says, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, they said, "Well, some people will say that you're a prophet. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people would say that you're a great rabbi. Some people say that you're a teacher." They're all the ways people related to Jesus. Then he stopped, takes a breath, and he says, "But who do you say I am?" Whoa. Forget about what the world is saying. What do you say? Who am I to you? And Simon, he's a big mouth. He sits there and he goes, "Oh, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." It was like he had this epiphany. It's like this brain just tripped. It went from one look to another look. It was like, wow, you're the Messiah. You're the chosen one. You're the promised one. You're the Savior. And I love what Jesus said to him. He was pretty excited. He said, Simon, man did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. I loved that comment. And then he says, I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to call you Peter now, and I'm going to give you a new destiny. I'm going to give you a direction. You see, it wasn't man that told him who he was. It was something that happened supernaturally. I'm praying today, as we've been going, you've been going through this series, that it's not what Mark says or Steve says or what the, it's actually a Holy Spirit revelation to you, that epiphany, that paradigm shift that can only happen in here. It can't just happen up here. Holy Spirit, would you reveal God afresh to me today? Because here's the truth. The revelation of God is never static. It's always progressive. If you have a look in the Bible, right the way from the book of Genesis all the way to that last book called Revelation, God is slowly revealing himself differently and differently. 1 minute he's in the sky, then he's in a box, then he's in a tent, then he's in a temple, and now he's in a man called Jesus, and then he's in you. It's always progressive. And I found in my life, my relationship with God and how I see him has also been progressive. What I see of God today is very different to how I saw him when I first became a believer a long time ago. It's been progressive. And I'm praying today, Holy Spirit, would you reveal a new character of him today? Not because of my convincing, but because it's a Holy Spirit revelation that comes from God. You see, Moses, you've been talking, looking at the book of Exodus, and you've been talking about the story of Moses. And Moses is an interesting story because Moses, in those days, they couldn't say the name of God. In fact, they used to say Yahweh, which actually didn't have vowels, so it was just the letters. And it meant nothing because you weren't allowed to say the name of God, because if you did, you could get shot down with lightning. So they just had these letters, which was YHWH. And if you said it as a Hebrew person in those days, it would sound like you're breathing. It has no meaning to it. It's Yah. I forget it. Anyway, it sounds like you're breathing. And it's like God is something I can't describe. It's like breath. And so when Moses comes along and there's all these couple of million people all caught in captivity, and he's been rejected by them, he's been rejected by his mum and dad, he's been rejected by his foster or his adopted mum and dad, and now he's out in the wilderness, and God shows up in a burning bush and says, I've got a new job for you. Go and take that 2 million people and take them over to out of captivity. Yeah, sure thing. Who are you? And he says, I want to tell you who I am. He says, I'm going to go and see Pharaoh. Who do I say sent me? He said, I am. Well, that's going to be helpful. I'm going to go and say, the I am, this God I can't pronounce, this name that has no name, the I am. But now he's taken people out of captivity across that river. Remember the river that opened up and he took him across the river? If you haven't seen it, look at Netflix. It's a great movie. He goes across there, right? He goes across the other side and he goes up a mountain. That was hard work. He's walking up this mountain. It takes him days. It's a big mountain. I've been over to New Zealand recently and just tried to climb Mount Cook, and it's big. And this was as big. And he climbs the mountain and he's up on the mountain. And God gives him these 10 commandments. Woohoo, this is how we're going to live. God spoke to me. He comes down the mountain and 2 million people have gone crazy. They're all worshipping other gods. So what's he do? Loses his temper. Breaks those tablets that he's just spent days chiseling away. He breaks them, gets upset, goes, darn it. Now I've got to go back up the hill and get another set. So he walks back up the hill to get a replacement set, and he's up there on top of the hill, the mountain, and he's with God. He's thinking God's not going to like them because they've rebelled. God's not going to like them because they haven't kept the commandments. God isn't going to like them. God isn't going to love them anymore, right? And so what does God do? Exodus 34, it says, God speaks to them. He comes past, it says, the Lord, the God of compassion. Can we go back a verse? Okay, we can't go back a verse. Sorry, I'm going to read it from here then. It starts off, that was my fault because I gave you the wrong one. It says, then the Lord came down in a cloud. He's on the mountain, comes down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name. What was it? Yahweh. He starts with the name they know, Yahweh. Then he says, the Lord, I'm changing that one, the God of compassion and mercy. Hang on a minute. He's describing his character now, and he's saying, those guys down here, you know how bad they are and I shouldn't really care about them? Well, actually, Moses, I am the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. He's talking about his character, and he's talking about how he's going to respond to the people who've just rebelled. Does God still love me? This is the question. Does God love me? You see, the truth is that all of you need love, right? If you don't believe me, listen to the Beatles. All you need is love. Bop, bop, bada, bop. All you need is love, love. All you need is love, right? And the psychologists, counselors, neurosurgeons who have studied the brain, who've studied your thinking, will all tell you the basis of all you, of all of us, is about love. How we receive love, how we give love, how we love ourselves, how we think people love us, it impacts us. And we live in a world of people who have got broken relationships, broken love, marriages that were promised and let down, children that have felt rejected or abandoned, who have been separated in some way. Abandonment has been a big thing that's caused trauma. Love damage. Your brain actually changes. The physicality of your brain changes when you feel loved and accepted, and also changes. You see, in the job I do at Adult and Teen Challenge, I'm dealing with people who are drug addicts, and I can tell you right now, or alcoholics, or addicted to some life-controlling addiction. And I can tell you now, when we start getting to the root cause, it's all about love. Either what they think of themselves, or whether they're trying to do something to please others, or whether it's about covering up pain of rejection or hurt, or it's all to do with love. And that shouldn't surprise you. Why? Because you'll be made in the image of God. You see, it's all about love. So the question is then, does God love me? Unfortunately, you and I see love through the lenses or the glasses of our human thinking. You see, our human thinking sees love in certain ways, usually by our experience, usually by our childhood, usually by what social media or TV or movies project to us. And the image that we humans have of love might be a little bit different to this unfailing love that Moses discovered Jesus, that God had up on the mountain. You see, our love is this. The first thing, human love, it's all about, Feelings. Feelings. Oh, my life of feelings. I like to sing. No, feelings. Has any of you watched those TV programs? Like Love at First Sight? The Farmer Needs a Wife? Nah. I don't like the merch, but hey, look, but it's all about feelings. It's like, do you feel like they love you? It's like, if I feel like you love me, then I feel loved and I'll love you back. When I don't feel like you're loving me, it's all about the feelings. I want to feel loved because it makes me all bubbly inside. It's all about feelings, but the problems with feelings is they're temporal. If things don't work out right, I don't feel loved anymore, therefore you don't love me. And it's the same about me, myself. How do I feel about myself today? Not too great. I'm probably the worst one. If you would go my brain or what I think about myself, it's not good. And it's not a good feeling. And therefore, I can't love myself, right? And yet it's important to make me the person that I'm supposed to be. The problem also with feelings is that when you look at God through those eyes, it's all about how I feel good. So we go to a church so that we feel good. And if the worship is got good and the worship is alive and it's all about the emotion, then I feel God. But can I feel God when it's not that great? You see, we call that experiential Christianity. It's all about the experience. It's all about whether I've experienced a healing, whether I've experienced this thing, whether I've got up the front and had this great prophetic word. It's all about a feeling. And if our glasses of God's love for me is about how I feel today, then it's going to be temporal. And there's going to be times when the answer to that question, does God love me, is no. And then there's the other one, is performance. The performance. If I perform well, I'm loved. Children, if I do well at school, my parents love me. If I do well on the basketball court, I used to coach basketball. And let me tell you, some of the parents, what they said to their kids after a basketball game would break your heart because the kids didn't do well. Or it's because they didn't perform, it's my fault because I'm the coach, right? Because I love you because of what we think, as long as I achieve, as long as I do well. If I'm doing okay, you'll love me. If I go home and do all the dishes, my wife will love me. If I go home and make a lot of money, my wife will love me. If it's all about performance, I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. But if we do that with God, it's the same thing. You see, and we preach this from the churches. Sometimes what we pastors preach, we've got to be careful because sometimes, especially in the old days where it was very conservative, it's all about you have to do A, B, C, D, and E to be loved by God or to be accepted. You've got to come to church every Sunday. You've got to be a good person. You've got to not swear. You've got to not do this. You know, and in the problem with that, is there's a lot of people in our world right now outside of these four walls who are feeling like they're not good enough for God. That's sad. And you might be in here suffering from some of that. I don't know how many girls, and especially girls, and guys really should be in the same boat, but it's generally girls who've fallen pregnant before marriage. They were a good Christian family and they fell pregnant before marriage and no longer go to church because I failed. Or people, I've just recently, people who feel rejected by church because they've been in a divorce or their second marriage because we didn't meet the standards. And that breaks God's heart because that's not Him. But if we come from a performance, we call it religion. And religiosity tells you that you've got to be this to be accepted by God. But that's not what God told Moses on top of the mountain. He didn't tell him on top of the mountain that, because those guys really stuffed up. And then there's the last one, is the contract, right? The contract. If I do this, you will love me, and if you do that, I'll love you. If you do a certain thing for me, I'll love you, right? How many teenagers have I spoken to have said they got pregnant or they got sex out of marriage because somebody said to them, if you love me, you will have sex with me? Or what about the idea that if you love me, then you, husband or wife, you will do A, B, C, D, and E. You, therefore, you don't love me because you don't do that. That's contractual. If it's all about what you do, you didn't remember my birthday, you didn't remember my anniversary, you didn't, therefore you don't love me. That's contract. Yeah. And sometimes we do that with God. If I go to church every Sunday, if I give my tithes, if I'm a good person, if I keep the contract, but sometimes we put God into contract. I wasn't healed, God. Where's your love? How many times have I heard people say, Steve, you've had such a tough life and you still hang in there with God. How come? He's let you down. I go, no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. You see, if God has to keep his contract, it's no longer love. It's no longer love. And yet we have this contract in us. And so when we look at God through our lenses, then you'll probably get the answer, no. Because in the world's eyes, through those filters, we will always miss God's love. But look what it says up on the mountain. You see, the word he said, unfailing love, is not called like the love we have today. It's called hesed. Hesed there is a word that we cannot put into the English language. We struggle with it because there's words such as unfailing. It could actually mean gracious. It could actually mean long-suffering. It could actually mean, in fact, if you took all the words that we've actually translated that in to, you end up with 1 Corinthians 13. If you've ever been to a wedding and you've heard someone read out 1 Corinthians 13, that's the description of it. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking, love prefers, love, that's love, that's the love that God has for you. You cannot earn it, you cannot get it, you cannot even lose it. You cannot, nothing will separate you, it says in Romans. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So let's take off our human glasses and maybe let's put on God's glasses. Because here's some truth for you. Let me tell you about God's love. First of all, God is love. He doesn't do love. It's not something he does. It's who he is. Look at John 1:4. This is John who wrote letters later on after Jesus had risen from the dead. And he said this. He said, but anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. He's trying to get it across. It's not something that he does. It is what he is. He is love. That's why if you know him, you know love. So it's not about whether he loves you or not. It's whether or not you know him, because he is love. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God and God lives in them. I want you to try and get this. And this is something I've been working through for probably the last 6 months. So it was great when Mark asked me to speak on it, because I've been thinking about this whole concept of God. Who are you? I've been trying to just meditate and focus and contemplate him. And this concept of love, he is love. He is love. Max Lucado said it this way: water must be wet, a fire must be hot. You can't take the wet out of water and still have water. You can't take heat out of fire and still have fire. In the same way, you cannot take love out of God and still have, him exist, for he was and is love. He was and he is. You cannot take love out of God. He is love. And we need to understand that. And today, if you have a paradigm shift, if you say, Jesus said to you, who am I? I'm hoping you will say, you are love. And I can't convince you, but the Holy Spirit can. He is love. The other thing I find out about God is this. To know God is to know love. So if you want to be loved, if you want to know pure love, unfailing love, love that was up on top of that mountain describing who God was, then you need to know God. Because when you know him, you know love. Our challenge is not to try and perform. Our challenge is to push through and say, God, I want to know you more than anything else. I want to know you. I'm going to be committed to just knowing you. Not knowing religion, not knowing what everybody else was, not trying to be good, not just getting to heaven. I want to know you. Because when you know him, it will change your life. When you know him, you will know love. when you know him, that very thing that you were created. Because if God is love and he created you in his image, that's why you need love. And that's why you need God. And that God-shaped vacuum that you and I have is love. Is love. But here's another thing. When you know God and you know love, you want to give love. Jesus said this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Look what he's saying. Your love that you have for this world is going to be the proof of your relationship with me. See, your relationship with God isn't what you do. Your relationship with God is your love. Look at this. Jesus, in the Hebrew times, they used to have a mantra, a prayer, and it was used to start off with, you are the Lord our God. And then it would go on to say, along the lines of, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Here's a thought for you. Let me put this to you. And I thought about this. Jesus, when he was asked, what's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love others as you love yourself. Oh, that's not going to work out good because I haven't got a great love for myself, right? It's not that great. So, but look at what he's saying. If I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my being, with everything, I've got nothing else to love you with because I've given it all to him. He's got the whole lot. Because then Jesus, he's at with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he makes this comment. He says, I want to give you a new commandment. No longer love as you love yourself. But here's the new one. This is the paradigm shift. Love others as I have loved you. If I give him all my love, I've got nothing left. The only love I can give you is the love I know from him. So we become a conduit for his love. His love in me is your love. So the more I get to know him, the more I know him as love, the more he becomes who I am, and the more love flows out to the world. The world does not need religion. The world does not need performance. The world does not need contracts. The world needs his love. And he's saying now, this is the new gig, guys. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to put my love in you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. So the fruit of your relationship with God is his love to this world. And so I want to encourage you today. Does God love you? Yes, he does. Through his eyes. We just got to step into it. Because when you're loved, you're changed. My boys, when they used to, they're older now, but I knew when they had fallen in love. I knew when they had a prospective girlfriend. Why? Because they came home different. They looked different. Things didn't bug them so much. Their rooms started to look tidy. They used to actually look better. They used to brush their hair and even have showers. It was like amazing. Because when you're in love, you change, right? When you're loved, you change. And if I'm expecting to change from your love, it ain't going to work because it's going to be temperamental. But his love, which is unfailing, his love, which is constant, his love, which you cannot separate from, his love that put him on the cross, that when it says, for God so loved the world, this is what he did. He gave his best and put on a cross to die for you. That's love. That's the love he has for you. I want to encourage you, if you want to know if God loves you, get to know God. How do you get to know God? Respond to the invitation. Come to me, all you are heavy laden. Come to me. The invitation is not, God, give me your love. The invitation is, God, I want to know you. The invitation is, come to him. If you're not a believer today, or you've been working on some sort of religious idea that as long as I'm good, I'll get to heaven, then let me tell you, you've missed out. Because today he's saying to you, would you come and know me? I died on a cross so that could happen. I died on a cross and rose from the dead so that you can come to know me, because I want you to know me as love. I want you to know me as real love, perfect love, unfailing love. That's the invitation. The second thing is this, spend time. You've got to spend time with him. Not the church is great. I want you to keep coming to church. This is awesome. Things are changing here. There's a new spirit in this place, which is exciting. I sense it just coming in. But there's something going on here. But this is just the start. It's got to happen every day, sitting and just sitting with him and going, I want to know you today, God. I want to know your love. I want to step into who you are. But here's the other thing that I've learned and I've been practicing is we need to listen to him. You need to listen to him. And sometimes the listening is silence. Sometimes the listening is nothing, but something's happening on the inside. Something's happening on the inside. I want to just finish off by saying I believe today there's people in this room, and it would happen in any room where we share this message. Right now there's people, you've been hurt by love. You've been let down by love. You've been let down by a church, which we've put the ticket on as God. We've been let down by others who've said crazy things. I've had someone come to me in the greatest trauma of my life who said to me, Steve, the reason that your son died is because you weren't in right relationship with God. Bollocks. That's broken love. Because my God loves me because he can't help but love me because he is love. If you've been hurt by comments, if you've been pushed away, if you're struggling with broken relationships that have impacted who you are, can I invite you today, hear the Spirit of God saying, I love you. I am love. I'm here for you. The invitation's there. Just step into that. Let's pray for a moment. Just close your eyes. If you're not used to that, just close your eyes. I'm just going to ask, Holy Spirit, right now, would you break the strongholds of perceived love in this place. And may we discover you. May we discover you. God, would you heal broken hearts right now that are broken from love? Would you heal the broken spirits that have been broken by unrealistic expectations of who you are and what you should do? God, just break that. And by your Holy Spirit right now, would we know love? Would we know you? Would we know your presence? Amen.
We really hope you got a lot out of this message. If you live in the Perth area, we'd love for you to join one of our live experiences. For times and directions, as well as information, head to our website, elevatechurch.me. For those of you beyond the Perth area, we'd love for you to connect with our online experience, which premieres every Sunday via YouTube and Facebook Live, and on demand immediately after. And to partner with us to reach more people by giving financially, head to our website, elevatechurch.me, and also download our Elevate Church AU app.